From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, August 23rd, 2024.
This Day in Maine is made possible by Now You're Cooking, celebrating 24 years of selling cookware, kitchen tools, gadgets, and fine wine on historic Front Street in downtown Bath, open 7 days a week.
Maine Secretary of State Shenna Bellows says the presidential campaign of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has just a few days to have the candidate's name removed from the state ballots before they are printed. Kennedy announced on Friday that he was suspending his independent bid for president because he didn't see a path to victory, endorsing former President Donald Trump instead. Kennedy suggested that he may keep his name on the ballot in less competitive states, and Bellows says her office must know by next Tuesday if Kennedy wants to be removed in Maine.
We will be reaching out to the campaign to inquire as to their intentions and let them know what the procedure is in Maine.
Kennedy was polling at just 2% among Maine voters who participated in a survey conducted this month by the University of New Hampshire. The University of Maine system says it will start negotiating a final sale agreement for the Hutchinson Center in Belfast after two appeals challenging its decision to sell the property to a local church. Nicole Agrisco has more.
The system says that Calvary Chapel Belfast made the top proposal to buy the facility, which served as a satellite campus for education and community events for two decades. Two organizations appealed the decision after their competing offers to purchase the property were rejected: the nonprofit Waldo Community Action Partners and a joint group of Belfast residents and a local arts center. The university system says both the church and the Waldo County nonprofit offered $1 million to buy the Hutchinson Center. But Calvary Church made a better offer, including space for the university to maintain internet hosting capabilities, and the church waived its right to an inspection. University officials say they've received more than 130 comments from the public about the pending sale in recent days. And in a statement, the system said that it used the same criteria to evaluate each sale proposal and that it cannot discriminate, including on the basis of religion. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Nicole Agrisco.
The Maine CDC says the public should not consume freshwater fish from four nearby water bodies after firefighting foam containing harmful PFAS chemicals was discharged at the former Naval Air Base in Brunswick earlier this week. The CDC says the new advisories are based on historic data that detected elevated levels of PFAS in these four water bodies before Monday's spill. The public should not consume or should limit consumption of freshwater fish from Mare Brook, the Marikanique Stream Picnic Pond, and what's known as the Site 8 Stream, located northeast of the runway at Brunswick Executive Airport. The CDC says that the public should also stay away from the foam and avoid swimming and boating on these water bodies. The Maine DEP said today that cleanup efforts continue at and around the site of the former Naval Air Base. Surface water samples will be taken every day for the next week, and the DEP says it continues to believe that the recent spill will not impact nearby wells. A wooden-covered bridge in southern Maine was heavily damaged on Friday when a fully loaded dump truck crashed through its floorboards. Peter McGuire reports.
According to a Maine Department of Transportation spokesperson, the truck fell through Babb's Bridge, connecting Gorham and Windham over the Presumpscot River. The truck was many times heavier than the 3-ton weight limit. No injuries were reported, and the bridge has been closed to traffic. Babb's Bridge was built in 1840, but was burned by vandals in the early 1970s. An exact replica of the original opened to traffic in 1976. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
In recent years, Portland has seen a boom in the number of cruise ship visits, and with it, growing pains in the community. Tourism agencies have implemented initiatives designed to address traffic and other concerns, but as Carol Bousquet reports, there has been mixed success.
Portland will see a total of 153 cruise ships this year, carrying more than 200,000 passengers. It's the city's busiest cruise season yet. Last fall, to address the traffic gridlock on Commercial Street caused by the sheer number of pedestrians, tourism operators hired five flaggers to bring groups of people across the street's busiest intersections. And a community hotline monitored by Visit Portland was activated and fielded 43 cruise-related complaints. Ethan Hipple, Director of Parks, Recreation, and Facilities for Portland, says a shuttle service that was 90% full most of the time helped reduce foot traffic in the Old Port.
You know, I think one of the big successes that came out of it was kind of establishing the viability of a hop-on, hop-off bus, kind of leaving right here from Ocean Gateway, taking people around various neighborhoods in Portland that are maybe a little further than walking distance.
Hipple says this year the route was altered to bring visitors to the Arts District on Congress Street, and the hotline remains in place to register community concerns. The Flagger program, he says, has been discontinued because its limited benefits didn't justify the cost. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
The Lewiston Housing Authority has received more than $1 million from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development to help seniors stay in their homes. The program will connect older Mainers to repair services and to nursing and occupational therapy. Travis Hanen, Deputy Executive Director at the Lewiston Housing Authority, says the modifications will help seniors move about more safely in their homes at a time when other housing options are hard to come by.
There's a crushing need for affordable housing for seniors right now. Our wait lists are years long, and the vacancy rates are at all-time lows. And so there's a need for safe, affordable housing for our seniors, and this is just one more avenue.
The program has already been up and running in Androscoggin County, but Hanen says the grant will allow them to serve 150 additional homes in Cumberland, Franklin, Oxford, and Kennebec counties. Volunteer birders on Cadillac Mountain in Acadia National Park are turning their binoculars to the sky this month as the 30th annual Hawk Watch gets underway. The Citizen Science Project runs from August into November and records sightings of migratory raptors such as bald eagles, American kestrels, peregrine falcons, and other species. Seth Benz with the Skudik Institute at Acadia National Park helped start the project 3 decades ago. He says each sighting is recorded and added to a national database, helping scientists understand population trends in these apex predators.
Oftentimes, these hawkwatch sites are the early warning system for detecting what is happening with the raptor populations.
In recent years, Ben says the project has documented an uptick in bald eagle and peregrine falcon populations and registered a dip in osprey numbers. The Cadillac Mountain Hawk Watch will continue into November. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us for Weekend Edition tomorrow morning at 8. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.